Okay, we're changing the music, changing the conversation, changing the perspective, but still sticking to our stated theme, the endless possibility of life, provided you stay awake, pay attention, and are willing to take a chance or two. That's AC/DC playing now, which is an appropriate soundtrack for 25-year-old Harrisonburg resident Corey Garrett, who's a huge heavy metal fan.
Metal seems to get like a bad rap from people who don't understand it and whatnot, and even I had some of these reservations about it as well, because when people think about metal, the first thing you think about is, you know, screaming and all that, and I felt that way too. But as I grew into it and learned more and listened to it, metal is basically classical music on like just a much more powerful level, because when you listen to louder?
That what you mean by powerful?
Well, it's all that. It's louder, faster, stronger.
Okay.
It's power is definitely one of the big things in metal. That's one of the reasons that that the vocalists do the screaming thing. It's powerful. It's angsty. It's angry and whatnot. Now, you know, I never really listened to it for that because it was always about the music. But you listen to these bands, and they do absolutely incredible things. They're some of the most technically proficient and talented people. There are guitarists who play just arpeggios after arpeggios. There's key modulation, which are key changes, and ridiculous back and forth between different tempos and time signatures. And all of these things come together in such a way that it takes all of these amazing pieces that you would find in like a classical piece, with all of the different violin parts and cello parts and everything like that, and all the scales and all of the interesting ways that composers like Beethoven and Mozart and Tchaikovsky and all of those people, they put them together in this big picture with so many different moving parts, and it comes together so fluidly and perfectly. And that's what metal is. It's just a lot louder.
Corey Garrett one day at the deli where he works. He's very tall and very personable and pleasantly outgoing. He has, if you'll pardon me, a noticeable spark. So I asked him to come in and talk with me. Corey's story is one of stops and starts until a couple of years ago when he discovered computer animation. Before that, there was playing saxophone, studying music, sort of, for 2 years in college, dropping out, becoming a father, and then picking up his studies again at Blue Ridge Community College.
I was going to try to take music education, because at this point I figured what I still wanted to do was music. And during my stay at Blue Ridge, I discovered otherwise. And it was so enlightening. It was like being just reborn into this whole new perspective on what I wanted to do, and that was computer animation. I had a good friend of mine at James Madison, Andrew West, and he actually just finished up some graduate work in computer animation at an institute in California, and I had been to the lab with him before, saw it kind of how he was doing it and whatnot. I always thought it was cool, but it never really clicked. And then, actually, this is super nerdy, but the whole reason that it finally snapped with me was I was watching the deleted scenes from a game called God of War 3, and it was kind of like the making of, and they had the animators talking about how they did what they did, and they all work with big mirrors right in front of their desks so they can like stare at themselves and get all the correct facial animations and whatnot. I was like, that's it. That's what I want to do.
What exactly was going on while you were watching the making of?
Oh,
that you said, I want to do that.
Well, it's a compilation of a few different things. I am a gamer. I love video games. I have my whole life, and I've always thought it would be cool to work in the video game field. But it had always been a pipe dream. It was something I was like, oh, I don't have enough skill or technicality or any of these things to be successful in this. So it was always just kind of like in the back of my mind, this would be cool, but it's not going to happen. So there was that. And then just watching these people work in these amazing environments, all of these artists together working on these projects and understanding things about making games and building these communities and all of these things put together. So there was that too.
Did you know what they were talking about? Did you speak that language?
Well, they used, being as how it was a deleted, being as how it was like an extra scene, mm-hmm, or whatnot, they didn't really go a whole lot into depth about the things that go into the field, like character rigging and meshes and bump mapping and all of these things.
Character rigging. What's that?
Character rigging is when when you have something that you need to animate, it first has to be modeled. That's taking all of the polygons and putting them together.
Polygons
are basically what any kind of computer-generated image is made of, mostly. It's just a triangle. And The more triangles you have, the more in-depth an image looks.
I can deal with this.
So when you have something that needs to be animated, you have to have a modeler rig up this model. Let's just say it's a person. So they have to take all of these little triangles and put them together in the shape of a person. Now, the rigger's job is to put in the digital skeleton. Like the arms and the finger bones and all of these, all the leg bones and everything like that, with all of the joints, so that the animator can go in and move those things to create the illusion of life. My job as an animator would be specifically to take these models of, you know, horses, dogs, dragons, people, what have you, that need to be animated, and make them move.
I'm not wasted, but I'm gaming all night and all day. You dig?
Gamer lifestyle, so games is what I'm playing.
Game
on that 6-4, so you know I say gaming.
Game
hop on live, then you know I start raping.
Game
wake up in the morning, turn on the PlayStation.
Game
playing, playing, playing till my game start breaking.
Game
I'm a damn nerd, so boy, stop hating.
Game
I'm still gaming.
Game
she's still gaming.
Game
we are still gaming.
Don't be trying to steal my songs either, cause you know it's ooey.
Back after a break to talk more with Corey Garrick about computer animation and to honor National Poetry Month with college student Taylor Kepley's favorite poem. This is The Spark. I'm Martha Woodruff. Back before the break, Harrisonburg's Corey Herrig was telling us how computer animators do computer animation. Now it's time for an example.
Like, I would get, say you're working at Pixar or DreamWorks or something, and you've got Shrek, and the project coordinator, the designer, the director, I guess, comes to you and says, look, I need you to make Shrek high-five somebody. And so the animator gets that image of Shrek, that 3D image, imported into their software, and then they animate Shrek doing a high five, and then everyone's like, great job, now do the next one.
Hey now, you're an all-star, get your game on, go play. Hey now, you're a rock star, get the show on, get paid.
And all that glitters is gold.
Only shooting stars break the mold.
And this stuff takes a long time. Yeah. Animation is a ridiculously time-consuming, I don't want to say hobby, definitely not a
enterprise.
Hobby. Enterprise. Yes, extremely. I actually just finished a movie, and it took about a year.
And were you ever bored? What is it like taking a year making Shrek high-five?
Oh, my goodness. No, I've never been bored doing this. It's, like I said, it was a completely eye-opening experience after like 10 years of wasting so much time and so much money trying to figure out what I wanted to do, I finally had it. And my friend West, I said, he sent me all kinds of fantastic documents. He sent me some how-tos and whatnot, and I did a lot of searching on the internet. I basically taught myself.
So what did you do?
Well, my buddy West came to visit me, and he brought me all of those materials I was telling you about. Yeah. And I managed to get a copy of Autodesk Maya, which is it's a full suite of programs. It does much more than just animation, but that's all I ever touched on. And I got a book called How to Cheat in Maya 2012, written by...
Maya 12 for Dummies?
Pretty much. I read through the book cover to cover, did all the exercises, and taught myself how to do this. And then, about a year after that, when I had been working tiny, tiny little 3 to 4 second clips to start building a demo reel that I could send out to companies...
Now, wait a minute, to companies who are making games?
Yes.
Who are creating games?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, game creators.
All right.
A little while after that, I found a program called the Source Filmmaker from a company named Valve up in Washington. Now, they have a very, very bespectacled history in the video game industry. They're fabulous.
When you say you found it, did you find it on the internet? How'd you find it?
Well, I don't remember exactly. It's available through download from from their online distribution site. So I found it, I downloaded it, and I learned it, and I watched all the tutorial videos that they had, and I was like, I'm going to make a short film with this. So I did. I storyboarded out everything. I went in and I set up all the scenes, and I wrote, well, that was actually much later. I wrote a song for it, some music for it, but yeah, like I said, animation is a very long process, and it took me just under a year to build this movie from not the ground up, but all of the animation I did myself, except for a couple of shots. But it was incredibly rewarding. I spent just about every bit of spare time that I had on it, besides work and doing dad things and all that. But I enjoyed every second of it. It's incredible to be able to build something and put that much effort into it and be able to see where it's going and how it's going to end. And
is it good?
Well, I think so. And I've showed it to just about as many people as I could.
So you finished this film.
I did.
Is this like your demo reel?
Well, it's too long to be a demo reel, because if you sent a 4-minute long video to a company, they would throw it out. They have so many prospective people to search through, so you have to make it very short and very concise. So I actually was planning on cleaning up the movie with some tips and feedback and information that I've gotten from the various people that I've showed it to, and I was going to cut it down and edit into a demo reel the shortest, best pieces from it, I think.
How long should a demo reel be?
I don't know, 15, 20 seconds tops.
All right.
Very short.
All right. They just want to... They're looking for how you animate or how you handle animation?
Yes,
what are they looking for?
They're looking for things like, how realistic does it look? Do you space your characters evenly? Is your eye drawn to the correct to parts of what? Is there any extraneous motion that doesn't need to be there? You know, they want to see some of the same things that they do when making real life movies. You know, it has to look clean. It has to look clear. It has to delegate exactly what the intention is.
But you're going to go to work for a gaming company.
I am so thrilled about this. All right, a little bit of backstory. There is a convention that has been in Boston for the last few years, the Penny Arcade Convention. Mm-hmm. And I was lucky enough to attend this past March. And I was so excited, and I wanted to get my movie done, at least as much done as possible before I left. So I got in all the lighting and all the music and all the animation, and I was so happy with it. And I managed to get it onto my iPad. It only took like 3 hours because I had to convert the video file like 10 times. But I got it on there, and one of my main goals.
I know what that's like, Henry Sam. Not 10 times, but
it's
yes.
Terrible. But yes, I managed to get it working. And one of my hopeful goals for going to the Penny Arcade Convention was to be able to show it to a professional animator and maybe get some feedback. And I was lucky enough to be able to sit down with the lead cinematic animator for the Mass Effect series. It's a huge, huge series spanning 3 games, entire galaxies. It's a big, I don't know, think like Star Wars big.
Okay.
It's a pretty massive undertaking, and people love the games, and they did an amazing job building this universe. And the animation wasn't bad either. but yes, I got to sit down with the lead cinematic animator, you know, the guy who tells all the other animators what to do. And he sat down with me and watched my film, and he told me what he thought.
What did he think?
He liked it. He sat down with me and gave me a list of my strengths and my weaknesses, and he gave me a couple of pointers there, here and there. And they were all very, very small things. And that made me, that I was just thrilled about that. You know, they were all just like, you know, fix this elbow a little bit. Put a light here, you know.
Oh,
so,
that's wonderful.
Well, yes. And I asked him, because this is something that I've been so worried about, is I don't have a formal education in this. And I know that that's not a big deal. They just want to see that you are able to do your work and do it well. But it's still, you know, it still nibbles at me a little bit. So I asked him, I was like, how do you view my movie that you just saw based on, you know, people with experience and degrees and whatnot? He told me that he thought my work was on the level of a recent bachelor graduate. So, you know, also very exciting. But while I was there, I got to meet this guy named Tyler. And I'm going to sound just like an idiot saying this, but I don't know how to pronounce his last name. It's only four letters, and we haven't been able to talk much because he's you know he's got a lot going on, so I have not been able to ask him.
How to spell it?
It's Y-O-H-E, and I don't know if it's like Yohi or Yo, but anyways, I met him on the show floor, and he is the co-founder of a company called Broken Crown Games. They had a little booth set up where they were pulling in people off of the floor to do motion capture. Are you familiar with motion capture?
No.
You know those green suits that they wear with the balls all over them?
Yes.
That's motion capture.
Yes. Okay. Yes. I know what that is.
Yeah. But yeah, they were having people come in off the floor to take motion capture, and they were going to select a few of the people to have motion capture data put into their game. And I was talking to him for a little bit, telling him I had a movie, and I was wondering about his project. And he gave me his personal email address on the back of his business card. So when I got home, I sent him the link to my film. And a few days later, he got back to me and told me that he really liked the movie. He said it was dark. But when he got back from his tour, he wanted to get together with me and see if there was a place for me on his project. Well, he did. He got back with me, and we talked for a small bit the other day. He had some Kickstarter stuff that was finishing up. Mm-hmm. So that was occupying most of his time. But I have another meeting with him on Friday, and where I have just a whole slew of questions for him about the game and all that, because I do I know some basic information, but it's still very early, so there's a lot of stuff that I can probably be filled in with. But yes, I get to help with this, and it is awesome.
Go, go, go for the moon.
Hey now, you're an all-star. Get your game on, go play. Hey now, you're a rock star. Get the show on, get paid. And all that.
How old are you now?
25.
Okay. You seem, just in our talking, to be okay with that. You just keep working at stuff until you get on the right road? Am I?
Well, yeah. I mean, I feel like that if there's going to be something that you're going to dedicate yourself to, mm-hmm. it needs to be A, something that you're passionate about, and B, something that is actually attainable. It's important to have realistic goals. You know, sometimes they might be lofty, but they got to be realistic. I wanted to be a chef one time. I thought about taking cooking classes, and then I thought, well, you know what? The only way that I would enjoy this is if I were like the personal chef to the ambassador to France or something like that. Like, I get to cook all the food. I get to design the menus. I didn't want to end up in one of those chef jobs that's all about quantity over quality.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was kind of the same thing with playing music. And then, like I said, 10 years later and a lot of money wasted. I shouldn't say wasted. Misappropriated.
Well, it's important to learn what's not right as well as what's right,
of course,
I think.
Of course. But then I found it. I found it, and I stuck with it. And I've only been doing this for 2 years. Self-taught, 2 years, and I have a volunteer position at an actual game development company. Going to be helping them on a project.
Now, you're also a father.
Yep.
And are you still with your girlfriend?
Mm-hmm. 5 years.
Okay. So you've got a family.
Yes, I do.
And is the optimism all shared?
Oh yeah. Yeah. We're all extremely excited. Mandy knows how hard that I've been working towards this, mm-hmm. and she could not be happier for me.
How, when you look at the future, Mr. Realistic, goals, what's the goal?
The goal would be to be eventually able to have my name in the credits of a AAA game title. Like, we're talking one of these ones with all the bells and whistles, millions and millions and millions of dollars worth of a budget, you know, something that millions upon millions of people are going to play. And there are so many places I could go. I could move, like, if I were able to get a job there, I would love to go to Canada. There are a bunch of great developers in Canada. There's one developer that I really like that's in Poland. So there's really no end to the places that I could go. And being on this team now is just the start. It's the stepping stone, and I could not be more excited about it. And it's only going to mean great things for the future. I know that. And I cannot wait to talk to Tyler some more and meet the other people of the development team. And I got to say, I'm really excited about what they're trying to do with this game, especially since it's science fiction-y. Which, you know, I love science fiction.
This is a group where you are pretty sure you belong, right?
Definitely. Absolutely. I do.
You'll find a link to Corey Gehrig's very dark and very interesting animated movie on the Spark page at WMRA.org. And I would very much like to give both Corey and my first guest today, Paul Ackerman, an official Sparkian commendation for the fearlessness and creativity of their reinventions.